Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence here today as we dig into your word. Lord, come speak to us this morning. Come be here this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys are the hearty bunch. Kudos, especially those of you who came all the way from Waterman. Wow. So I never want to hear anybody like they can't get to church to greet, because they came to church to greet. And I almost couldn't get out of Cortland. The snow drifts were so thick leaving Cortland that I was worried I wasn't going to make here. So thank you for coming. I've been wrestling all morning on what to do. If I should do the sermon I wrote, which I think is important for us as a church, or if I should just do something else. And as we were going through worship and everything, I really felt the Lord say, just do what you wrote. Make sure it's recorded. Yes? Okay. And trust him on this. So that's what we're going to do. Over the past few months, I've been asking myself a question over and over again. And it's been a real simple one. What kind of church would I go to if I could go to a church? What would it look like? There's something y'all need to realize about Cindy and Maya's perspective on church. This has never been a job for us. We've never looked at this as a job. We feel like we're a part of this community. This is our church, as well as your church. And just so you know, we're not going anywhere. This isn't my way of saying, I don't like this church, I'm out of here, bye. We're not going anywhere. But what characteristics would I love to see at this church? What would I love for us to be known for? This isn't about a vision statement or a mission statement. We've done that in the past. This is more a picture of what we could become. What we could become. If you've been looking at our newsletter lately, thank you. For the last few weeks, I've posted some podcasts that have really influenced me from the We Are Vineyard podcast series. They really got me thinking about this question. What kind of church are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to look like? What is it supposed to feel like in here? Now, I'm not saying that there's issues with us or that we need to do massive changes or anything like that. Instead of, it's more of, what would I like to see more of? What would I like to be known for? If you haven't listened to them, don't worry about it. They've just been influencing my thinking. So for the next few weeks, I want to spend some time and talk about the characteristics of the church that I would love to be a part of. And my prayer is that these four characteristics resonate with you as well, that you'd want to be a part of that church. And then come Lent, I'm going to call us to a time of prayer and fasting for the 40 days of Lent. We did this in 2019. We were praying and fasting for the Lord to give us a place to meet, and he gave us this. And we haven't done anything like this since then, and I feel like, especially after this past year, we need to press in again. And we need to pray as a community and really come before the Lord and say, okay, what's next for us? So today I want to talk about the first characteristic. And that is, I'd like to be known as a church that desires to be in the presence of God. If you have a Bible, open it up to Exodus chapter 33. You can tell I'm not prepared this morning. Exodus 33. So, y'all know the Exodus story, right? Where we are in the story is Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and the Israelites are down below, and they get bored. And I don't know if you know what it's like when you have kids and they get bored, but when kids get bored, it's kind of like if you have a dog. You ever have a dog that got bored? Bad things happen when you're away from the house and dogs get bored. Our dog, she likes to take an adventure into the garbage cans throughout the house and just destroy them all. And so the trick in dogs is never letting them to get bored. Well, the Israelites are bored. And Moses has been gone for 40 days, and they look at Aaron, and we don't know what happened to him, they say, so make us a god that we can worship. And so they take their jewelry, and as Aaron puts it, they throw it into a fire, and out comes a calf. And they begin to worship this calf. And Moses comes down from the mountain. He sees them turning their back on God. He gets mad at them. He throws the Ten Commandments at them. And then God brings judgment against them, and this plague comes against them and wipes out a ton of them. And then God tells Moses this in verse 1 of chapter 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." God is going to give them everything he promised. He's even going to send an angel to go with them, but he's not going with them. He's not. Think about that for a moment. You get everything you've always wanted, and you even have an angel hanging out with you to protect you in the midst of that. You know, they're going to get the land. They're going to get flowing in milk and honey, blessings everywhere. They get all that, but they have to go there on their own. I wonder how many of us would take that deal. You get everything. You just don't get God. Now Moses thinks better of this, and in verse 15, he says this to the Lord. He says, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from the other people on the face of the earth?'" Moses wasn't willing to take that deal, but so many of us are willing to take it today. Because when the presence of the Lord shows up, things get messy. God tends to do whatever he wants to do, even things that we might not want him to do. Nikki Gumbel, the guy who runs Alpha, he's got this really wonderful story. He talks about how he wanted to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be filled by the Spirit, but he didn't want the gift of tongues because he thought the gift of tongues was just messy and wrong, and he didn't believe in it. So he prayed, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit." And the first thing he gets is tongues. When it comes to church, things get complicated for a pastor when the presence of God shows up. Most pastors are the same. We're control freaks. Deep down, we're control freaks. Don't touch the chairs, okay? Because that's my little tick, you know? We move chairs around. I'm always the guy trying to straighten them back out. We're control freaks. Sunday for me is crazy. I run around here like a chicken with its head cut off. You know, today's a great example. I got here. I shoveled out the front walkway. I got the coffee going. Somebody mentioned something smelled funny, so I went down into the furnace room and I checked out the furnace. Not that I know what I'm looking at, but I went down there to make sure it wasn't on fire because I figured if it's on fire, that's probably a bad thing. You know, I made sure the sound is right. I brought stuff to Nate. I even got up here as I started to preach and said, "Nate, are we recording today?" You see, we're control freaks. That's who we are. I don't like surprises. I woke up this morning, I put up my Facebook, and all of a sudden I see Love's Road, which I have to drive down to get here, is closed. And I see churches surrounding in the surrounding communities closing. And I'm thinking, what do we do? This isn't going to as planned. See, we don't like that. And then when God shows up in a meeting of ours, all of our well-meaning plans for the day go up in smoke. Christmas Eve is a great example of this. Christmas Eve was supposed to be a light, easy service.
service. It was going to be quick. We were going to be in. We were going to get out. Easy. I wrote a simple message in, out, and then I made a mistake. I said, Cindy, John, why don't you come up here and we're going to see what the Lord has to say. And Cindy looked at me in this, her seat, and she goes, I got nothing, Joe. I got absolutely nothing. This is going to be quick. And I was like, amen. Quick. They come up here. And then God just thinks that I was wrong. Decides that he didn't want a quick service. He wanted a long service. And he wanted to make sure it made me uncomfortable. So all of a sudden, John goes up, and I think I got a word for somebody and give somebody a word. And Cindy goes, yeah, come to think of it, I think I have one too. And now I'm sitting in the back at the sound booth, and they gave a word to everybody in the friggin' church. Ministry time lasted longer than the sermon. John came up to me later, and he goes, you know, I was looking for you to, like, you know. And I'm like, but God was moving. See, when God shows up, things get messy. But there's something important when God shows up, because it changes things. It makes things distinguished. Notice what Moses says to God. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? The Western church today has become very vanilla. I'm not trying to be critical, but we all do the same thing. It doesn't matter to the denomination. Most pastors want the same thing for their church and their people. We want to see our church grow. We want to see our people thrive. We want to see you in healthy relationships, healthy marriages. We want to see healthy families. We want to see you and the church growing both spiritually and emotionally. That's where most of our hearts are at. And after a while, we all start looking the same, because here's the thing. We all read the same books. We listen to the same podcasts. We're influenced by the same people. Our order of service may look different, but it all still feels quite familiar. We're not the only church doing Alpha in this town. And what's amazing about Alpha is it's not a Vineyard thing. I mean, I think Christ Community is doing Alpha. Glad Tidings is doing Alpha with their youth. There's an Alpha that the Catholic Church runs. We all use the same programs. We do similar things. We even organize ourselves like most non-for-profits. And that's why I think most of the world is checking out from coming to church. And many church people are checking out as well. Because they come and they go, well, what really makes things different? You know, in many ways, our small group kind of look a little bit like a 12-step program small group. You know? We define our higher power, but there's similarities. What makes us different? I've told my salvation story a bunch of times. I'll recap it quickly. 1988, the church that Cindy's aunt and uncle were going to thought the world was coming to an end. They influenced Cindy's parents, who brought Cindy, and Cindy was already a follower of Jesus. And we were dating, and we were moving towards marriage, and she thought it would be important, A, if Jesus came back, and B, even if he didn't, if we're getting married one day, that I knew Jesus as well. So we sat in a park, and she presented the gospel to me, which made total sense. I was raised Roman Catholic. I didn't have any issues with Jesus. I had no problem with faith. Everything she said made sense. I prayed a prayer. Good. Done. Whoop-de-doo. I really didn't feel a tremendous change in my life in any way, shape, or form at that moment. I just pray a prayer. Later, I think a day or two later, Cindy said, you know, you should get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, what's that? I went through confirmation. I got the Holy Spirit at confirmation and at Mass. Isn't that the same thing? You know? She goes, no, this is different. So we're in my family room, my parents' house. My parents were out of town. She put her hand on me and said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And then things went nuts. I remember starting to shake. I remember feeling like I was going to throw up. And all of a sudden, words came out of my mouth. I remember just sobbing, uncontrollably sobbing. I was never a crier until then. And then I remember starting to see things in my mind's eye. My eyes were closed, and I saw this picture, and I was walking up a river, and at the end of the river was Jesus, and he had his arms open to me, and he was kind of calling out to me. And this is all going on, and from what I understand, it went on for about an hour and a half. Didn't feel like it. From that moment, I was never the same. From that moment, now everything became real. And from that moment, I started telling other people about what I experienced and who this Jesus was, and I started annoying my friends. From that moment, I felt this urgency, like I need to be in my Bible. I remember that the next day, I went to school, and I used to commute to DePaul every morning. I would drive to Harlem Avenue, hop on the L, and take the hour L downtown, the hour L back. And I had the only Bible I owned was this Good News Catholic Bible that I had from high school. And I read that. I read the whole Bible probably in 3 months. I couldn't put it down. I even read the Apocrypha because it was in there. Everything changed at that moment when I experienced the presence and the power of the Spirit. See, when the presence of the Lord is with us, anything can happen and people notice the difference. We don't notice it 9 times out of 10, but what I hear from visitors almost always is there's something different about this place. They can feel it. So what does it look like for us to be a church that desires God's presence? For me, it always starts in worship. I can tell a church that desires God's presence by the way they worship. Psalm 22:3 in the ESV describes God this way: "Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." God's throne sits in the middle of the worship of His people. You see the picture in Revelations with the angels and the elders all around the throne just crying, "Holy, holy, holy." God's throne is in the middle of the worship of His people. So when we worship God, His presence is in our midst. It's not just because we sing, it's when we worship Him. And haven't you had those moments where you've experienced it? Moments in worship when things seem to transcend, when it feels like you're in heaven? Feels like anything can happen. So how do we get there? Well, it starts with expectation. Do we really expect that the presence of God is going to show up? Let's be honest. Expectation is one of the struggles that we have in this church. We're small. We all know one another. It's easy just to assume everything is going to be the exact same as it always has. I mean, I walked in this morning, I woke up this morning and I reached out to 3 pastor friends in town and I said, "Hey, are you guys doing church today? Because everything I'm seeing on the internet is, it ain't going to be easy to get there." And I called Jeff because his driveway is always a challenge in bad weather. And I'm like, "Hey, what's your driveway looking like?" And that was my way of politely saying, "You think we should stay open today or do we need to take the day off?" We got into church. I remember I pulled Ben aside because Cindy's still homesick. And I pulled Ben aside and I said, "Hey, we're probably going to do, I don't know what we're going to do today. But I don't expect, with the weather, I don't expect much." It's easy not to expect much. We know everybody here. We've been through the routines. We've been through the ribbon. The problem is when we have no expectations, things feel stale, they feel dead, and it turns into this self-fulfilling loop. Nothing's going to happen, so nothing ever happens. And people start to notice that. I used to have this bad habit of apologizing to visitors. I've stopped that, hopefully, although it still creeps up every now and then. But when we show up, when we come with expectation, we make room for the Holy Spirit to come. The last few weeks of ministry time have been really powerful. Been really powerful. And a lot of that has been because over the last month and a half, I've had this expectation that God wants to do something. And I've been trying to push it into other people as well. That God wants to do something. That leads us to another element that I'd like to see. Do we make room for God's presence? A church that desires God's presence makes room for the Spirit of God to move. It can be interrupted. Nothing is set in stone. So that means we get to a point where the worship team and myself, we have to be comfortable with God interrupting what is happening in the room. Christmas Eve is a great example. We need to be comfortable for God to interrupt what's in the room. We also need to make room for Him. And that's where ministry time comes in. You know, we've changed ministry time a little bit. We're in this place where we're waiting to see what the Lord wants to do, and we bring some people up. We're going to tweak it some more. But it's this idea of opening up, making room for God to move. We've done ministry time in this church for 20 years. We've been in this building for 4. And I can tell you, over the last month, we've seen more movement during ministry time because we've literally opened it up and said, okay, God, we're going to wait and hear what you want to do. We've had visitors come saying, I've never seen anything like that before. Finally, we need to make room in our own lives, allowing God to minister to us. We need to be comfortable when the Lord moves to say, I need prayer. It's okay, I can be interrupted today. Now, there's one other element that I think is important for the church that I'd want to be a part of. I want them to be naturally supernatural. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. So I want to be in a church where everybody gets to play, where everyone was not only encouraged but felt free to join in whatever God was doing. Where we felt comfortable actually praying for one another. Naturally supernatural also means that there should be little or no hype going on. You know, we don't have to act weird. We don't need to scream. We don't need to pray in that special voice. Our Father and our God. There's this wonderful John Wimber story. They were doing ministry, real powerful ministry, and somebody pulled him aside and said, John, how do you prepare for a ministry time? Like, what do you do? And he goes, well, I normally, like, right before I have a bag of chips and a Diet Coke. Sometimes we think we got to work everything up. It's the Lord who's doing it. We just need to be there and make room for Him. And then finally, being naturally supernatural means that we're willing to take God's presence with us wherever we go. In our everyday, ordinary lives, we're open to joining with what God is already doing, meaning we're willing to pray for other people outside of the church. I want to be a part of a church where that's happening in our community, where we're not afraid to go to our friends and say, can I pray for you? We're not afraid to go to the people we meet and say, can I pray for you? Can I invite the presence of God into this situation right here and right now? That's the first element of the church I want to be a part of. I want to be in a church that desires to be in God's presence. And so, like I said, we've been changing things to help encourage that. the change in ministry time, and that's probably been the most noticeable change. But through that, it feels like expectations are starting to rise. There's been an increase in the prophetic in this church. We didn't plan that. It wasn't like I pulled people aside and said, okay, we want to be more prophetic. I remember what I told them when they came up here. I said, what I want you guys to do is just see if the Lord, if he's given you an impression on how we should pray for people. I did not anticipate it to become as prophetic as it's become. There's going to be some other changes we make. I've spoken to the worship team. We're going to change some things the way we do preparation for worship. There's some things we're going to probably change with ministry even to open it up a little bit more. But my desire is we become that church that just is hungry for the presence of God. So that's how I want to close today, real quick. We're not going to do what we've done in the past for ministry time. And just do something a little different because I think the Lord wants to do this today. I mentioned my salvation story and my filling of the Holy Spirit story. I struggled today if I should give this sermon or not because I felt like I needed more of the church here, but I felt the Lord say, no, the people are here are the people who are supposed to be here. I'll encourage the rest of the church to watch the video. But I think to be a people who desire his presence mean we need to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into this place and into our lives. So that's what I want to do right now. I just want to invite the presence of God to come. So just sit back for a moment. I'll pray. Sometimes it's good just to be open. You see people with their hands like this. It's a receiving type position. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and see what he wants to do, whatever he wants to do right now. So Holy Spirit, come. Come into this place. We desire to be a people who are hungry for your presence. Lord, let your presence come right now. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit.